Picker. I like hearing that song first thing here on Sunday morning. And good morning to all you listeners out there. My name is R.T. Lowe, and you're listening to Gateway to Cleveland here on KTHT 97.1, your country legends, Houston, Cleveland. Gateway to Cleveland is a public affairs program, and we have someone from the area on talking about things that are of interest. And in this case, I have somebody that will probably be of interest to anyone that can hear our voice. His name is Richard Thorpe, and he is the president of the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association, or the TSCRA for short. And Mr. Thorpe, do I still have you on the line?
Yes, RT, I appreciate you having me on the phone today.
Well, I tell you, I was running around in circles earlier, so hopefully I've caught up. I'm no longer out of breath. You've been pretty busy too, haven't you?
Yes, sir. I tell you, we've got a legislative session coming up in the state of Texas, and we are getting ready for that. So we've been really, really busy.
Yes. If you don't mind, can I call you Richard, or may I call
you? Yes, sir.
Richard?
Absolutely.
Okay. Would you tell the folks a little bit about yourself and how you became president of the Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association?
Yes, sir. I'm a rancher, and I'm from West Central Texas. My ranch is, the closest town is Winters. It's in between Abilene and San Angelo. And how I got involved in the Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association was I originally went to an annual convention because they have a school for successful ranching, which gives out a lot of educational material and on-site demonstrations. And I was very interested at that time in some brush control techniques for mesquite. And I went, had such a great time, fellowship, being with these ranchers. I started going, and we went to every meeting and every function they had just because we really enjoyed the people. We loved the issues, loved the history, and I got recognized and made a board director, and then from there, the rest is history. Worked my way up the ladder and to be president now.
Well, that's great. And I would think that it also helpful that you took that class early, huh? You learned a lot from that.
Well, it really is. And I tell you what, that everybody that owns land can get something out of our annual convention. And we've got one coming up at the very end of March, the first part of April. And I recommend everybody look at our website, www.tscra.org, and you can learn more about it. And I guarantee you'll learn something, but just as much as you'll go to the largest ag trade show in the state of Texas, as well as having just a tremendously fun time, very entertaining. And I highly recommend, if you've never been one, I invite you to come.
Wow. Who is eligible to become a member?
Well, anybody. That's a great question, RT. I appreciate you asking that. We mainly represent cattle ranches,
right?
But we have a large portion of our membership that just own recreational property. And they may have a couple of horses, or they may just have hunting property. And those are, we have a lot of members that are in that. Our baseline membership fee is $120 a year, and with that you get 12 issues of a great magazine. You get some free educational opportunities and insurance. Want to talk about health insurance, we do that. But wow, Most importantly, that membership dues, they go to service two main functions of the Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers. One's the law enforcement branch, and the other is governmental affairs. And governmental affairs mainly involve around private property rights, which I think everybody that owns land can understand the issues we have with that.
Absolutely. Also, I've been involved on a small amount. I'm not a member or anything, but I was in 4-H and FFA as a youngster. And your signs have been up on fences all over Texas and Oklahoma, isn't that right? Where all does it cover?
Mainly Texas and Oklahoma. We have some members outside the state, as far east as Alabama and as far north as Colorado. But mainly Texas and Oklahoma are our main members, is where they come from. You know, we all we were started RT in 1877, and at that time there was a real issue in Texas with cattle theft, and there still is today, by the way. And 40 cattlemen met underneath an oak tree in Graham, Texas, which is a little bit west of Fort Worth. And these 40 men were the start of this association. Today, on the law enforcement side, we've got 30 special rangers scattered between Texas and Oklahoma. And these special rangers carry a certified peace officer license and a badge, a gun, and under the Texas Department of Public Safety and the Oklahoma Bureau of Investigation. And wow. What makes them different than the state troopers or the Texas Rangers under the Texas Public Safety is that our members pay their salaries. Not one tax dollar or penny goes to paying the salaries of our special rangers. And they recover around 1,000 cases a year and recover between $5 and $6 million worth of stolen cattle, horses, saddles, four-wheelers, Polaris's, guns, everything else thieves will take. And so, you know, they really service the state, Texas, as well as Oklahoma, and don't cost taxpayers one penny. And everybody always asks, why does TSCRA get to have their own private law enforcement? And it's because we've been around since 1877.
There you go. Mainly because the state couldn't afford to have pay for extra rangers out there, and you said, well, we'll pay if we can go through you, right?
That's how it worked, exactly.
And folks, if you don't think that's a big thing, 30 officers, peace officers, do not come cheap. Plus, they have all their equipment and all that. So, excuse me. These type of activities really save us money. We're speaking with Richard Thorpe, and he is the president of the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association. And he's telling us a little bit about the organization. Besides the law enforcement area, what else does the Cattle Raiser Association do? I'm going to start using the TSCRA. I'm stumbling over that long title.
It is a long name. It is RT. You know, the second most important function besides law enforcement protection for our members, which is why you see those blue signs on the gates. It really deters thieves just knowing you're a member, knowing that we've got people that will come get you if you're a thief.
Yes.
But the second biggest arm of the association is governmental affairs. And even though we're headquartered in Fort Worth, Texas, where I'm speaking from today, we also have an office in Austin, Texas. It's on Congress Street, right across the street from the Capitol. And we spend a lot of time in that state capitol, but we also spend a lot of time in Washington, D.C., as needed, to defend things that are interest of us. And in all of our problems tend to involve around private property rights. That's where we hang our hat. As if you want to talk about any issue that involves the cattle raisers, most of the time it's private property rights. That could be on the state side regarding water and people wanting the water from underneath our land.
Yes.
Or it could be on the federal side with the WOTUS, if you've heard of that, Waters of the United States, where the EPA has come through and tried to regulate all our ponds and creeks and ditches on our private land. So we fight issues mainly involved around private property rights.
Now, a lot of people are going to be surprised to hear exactly what all you're having to work to defend there, because we'll talk for the federal government, if you don't mind, for a minute. That organization is basically, if you have a cattle pond, or even if you have a bar ditch that goes through, because part of the pasture is that drains to there, they're trying to take control of not only that water, but all the area right around that, right?
That's it, right, RT. It's a tremendous overreach by the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, trying to overreach off of what they have law over, which is navigable streams, meaning you're supposed to be able to float a boat on it. But they've now taken that and tried to go up contributing tributaries and creeks all the way to the stock tank that you may have with on your land. And the horrible thing about this is the regulations involved with it, where you have to get a permit to do anything on your land, which is costly, time-consuming, or you may have to fight them over something related to a water issue on your land. And so it's not right. And, you know, the good thing that we're hoping for with this new administration, with President-elect Donald Trump, is that we see him get a new head person in the EPA office that'll be more friendly to landowners.
And have a little common sense.
Common sense.
I mean, I didn't say that. It drives me nuts. Most of those stock tanks didn't appear on their own. You know, I've been in West Texas a number of times. You move the mesquite out of the way, you move the rocks out of the way, and then some dirt, and you build you a stock tank. And that they want to take control of these things. And the other thing that drives me nuts is it's okay if a beaver builds a dam and blocks up a stream and it backs up 40 acres of land with the water, but it's not okay if people put in a little concrete weir to see how much water's passing through.
Absolutely. And this overreach of the EPA really kind of boiled down to the whole administration that was led by President Obama. He allowed this to go on. He knew this was going on. And you know, it's just a tremendous private property rights encroachment, which when that happens, you're going to see TSCRA get involved.
And the more area they think they can control, the more people it's going to take to control it. So it makes their agency that much bigger.
Yes, sir.
We're speaking with Richard Thorpe. He's the president of the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association. We're talking about water rights. What kind of land rights are we talking about that are involved?
Well, this legislative session in the state coming up here starting in January, led by Governor Abbott, is we're going to look at playing some offense. It seems like RT, all we do is play defense, and it's basically people constantly trying to take our land or take what's beneath it. And this time we're going to go on a little offense, and we're looking at right now trying to improve eminent domain. And eminent domain is something we don't believe in right off the bat. We believe there should be a willing buyer and a willing seller, that a private entity like a pipeline company or an electric company with voltage lines should not be able to take your land using government power to make profit on it for eternity. And we just don't think that's right. But we all know this state's rapidly urbanizing and growing fast, you know, to the tune of 1,200 people a day moving to the state of Texas. And with that, you're going to have a lot of infrastructure regarding transportation, electric, and things like utilities. So eminent domain is there. But what we're having a problem with is currently the way eminent domain works. We've got to tweak the bill so that we can get what we call a bona fide offer at the very beginning. You know, most of our members are what we call asset rich, cash poor. Asset rich because we own land, cash poor because we don't make a lot of money you know, with this land. And so with this, most people, when they get eminent domain, will work with an attorney on a contingency fee. And if you don't get a bona fide, a good offer on the front end, then everything above that offer, what settles on an eminent domain case in a county commissioner's court, the attorneys may choose to, you know, depending on what you settle with them on contingency, they'll get 30% to 50% of it. Well, if we can get a good bona fide offer on the front end, then we can cut that legal fee down very, very small. And if they don't get within a certain percentage, we're going to say 125% of the original offers, what's in our bill, what we're going to try to get done, the electric company or the pipeline company, they can pick up the legal fees, your legal fees. So that way more money comes back to the landowner. And this is just this is probably our biggest issue we're pushing for in the way of helping landowners, private property rights related around eminent domain.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people have trouble understanding the profit margin isn't that great. You may have a lot of land out there. It takes a lot of grass to raise a cow. and cattle themselves, you have a pretty high price for it, but it's not that much profit margin in them.
Well, today, as the population has grown in the great state of Texas, there's been a lot of fragmentation of land over time. And today, the average cow herd size in Texas is 50. Well, you can't make a living off of 50 heads, so the majority of people that own land and have a few cows on it have another job outside and off the ranch. And that's just the way it is. Of course, we still have the historically large ranches that's what they do. But a great majority of our membership, I'd say the way high percentage of our majority of our membership, are these small people that have just a few, and they worry about things like eminent domain or getting something stolen off their property.
And we're speaking with Richard Thorpe. He's the president of the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association, TSCRA for short. And one of the things that had crossed my mind was when you're dealing with these land issues, in a lot of cases, it brings in the law enforcement, as in trespassing and things like this. Is that also something that y'all deal with?
We do, but not to the greatest extent. Most of the time when our law enforcement is involved, it involves theft. And since there's only 30 of them scattered between Texas and Oklahoma, and they work around 1,000 cases a year and recover that $5 to $6 million worth of stolen property a year, they mainly are investigational. And so our special rangers are very experienced lawmen, and they've been around. They've got a lot of experience. They know how to track a thief. And most of that time, they're involved around that. We don't get involved to too much trespassing, but I just had a case of that on my ranch recently that my special ranger helped me out with, where it was a drugged up gentleman in a stolen pickup truck that made his way onto my place somehow, and our ranger helped the state trooper and the county sheriff arresting.
Wow. I've often wondered about the breakdown of the ranches, how it's holding up. We were talking on the federal level on water. What about the death tax? I know that's been a problem for farms and ranches, family-owned farms and ranches.
Well, you hit it right on the nail, RT. That, you know, we want to see death tax go away, and it's a horrible thing because it's something that's caused a lot of ranches to break up and to sell portions of the ranch the family has to in order to pay the tax on it. We've been against this for ever since our existence, and we're going to hopefully get something done. This new President-elect Trump, I think, with a Republican Congress and Republican Senate, we really think that we might be able to abolish the death tax. It really boiled down to the statement I said earlier, when our members are asset rich, cash poor. So when you throw a death tax in because land values have appreciated so much, and that they're sitting on a lot of asset, that it's horrible they have to sell part of it to pay federal taxes.
And, you know, family ranches, especially in Texas, are the backbone of the state for a long, long time. But the death taxes, as you said, it's broke up so many of the large ranches.
It has, and it will continue to do it if we can't get this changed. But, boy, we have a lot of hope in this new Republican Congress, Senate, and President, that maybe we can abolish this death tax forever.
And we're talking with Richard Thorpe. He's the president of the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association. If for the average consumer out there, what do they benefit from your organization?
Well, I think that the best thing right off the bat on the law enforcement end is our special rangers perform a large amount of law enforcement and don't cost taxpayers one penny. And I think if you want to talk about the average Texas resident. That's a huge thing. We're not calling sheriff's department or whoever else that county resources and public resources and taxes are used to pay for. Our membership is providing that their salaries completely off of membership dues, and so it's that's probably a huge one. Governmental affairs, I think our biggest thing around private property rights, a lot of that extends way down the line, and yes. And where you own property, no matter what you own in the state, I think the average person can relate to having invasion or private property rights taken away. And so that's where I really think the two biggest issues for the average citizen in the state, where we do benefit them.
Two things I think we might ought to get in again, because it's been about 15 minutes since we gave them the information to start with. If you wouldn't mind, the contact information, your website and such. And the second thing, your yearly meetings and how they might get involved in, or even join.
You bet. I thank you, RT, that to be a member of the Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association, even though we represent mainly cattle raisers, you don't have to own cattle. You can own recreational property. You may just have it for hunting. You may have it for some horses. But we invite all people that own land to be members of our association. The easiest way to become a member is to get on our website. It's www.tscra.org for the Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association. On there, the baseline membership dues is $120 a year, and you get 12 issues of a great magazine that comes out monthly with special interest stories and educational things, and also you get opportunities for education as well as insurance, health insurance. We provide very, very specialized attention to people working this health insurance, like with the troubles we've had with Obamacare.
Yes. And one other thing people might want to keep in mind is it's a good way for interacting with other landowners around the state. So, you know, you got 5 acres. A lot of people, you know, they may have their kid may be in agriculture and they may be raising a cattle or horses, as you say, just one or two. But this way they can interact with people that do it for a living and on a much larger scale, right?
Absolutely. It's a very friendly association. We don't really have any walls. We have people that belong to our association just because of our stand on private property rights that don't actually own ranches. They just like our conservative stand on that belong. We have a spot for everyone that's interested in keeping your land safe and trying to keep, like that example you gave of the guy who owns 5 acres, when they start talking about coming across him with utility lines or pipelines. You know, we need to be able to represent him well in that.
And you're a nonprofit organization, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, we want to make sure we get that in there so people will understand. We've got about 5 minutes here. Is there something, an area that I haven't brought up or that you would like to cover?
I think we've got it all pretty well, RT. You know, like when we were talking about water and things like eminent domain, you know, all of it's really evolved around the urbanization of the state. You know, when you have 1,200 people moving to Texas every day is what it's been estimated, they're not bringing their water with them. We understand, yes, there's transportation issues, there's water issues that urban areas will continue to have. And I think that underlyingly, we want to represent, we really mainly represent rural Texas, and rural Texas in the sense that if you own land, you want to protect it, whether it be from thieves, but also you want to protect it from someone trying to take it for governmental purposes.
Well, we've been speaking with Richard Thorpe. He's the president of the Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association, TSCRA, and it's tscra.org is your website, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, I really do appreciate you being on and talking to us about all the things that your organization does. Hopefully, the folks out there learn that there is somebody out there helping property owners on a larger scale, and they might want to participate.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today, RT, and absolutely. We're there. We've been there since 1877, which means this coming year will be 140 years old.
Wow.
And this association today represents 17,600 ranches across the state of Texas and Oklahoma, representing around 60,000 people. So we are a sizable association with a lot of history and deep roots.
Well, thank you for being my guest today. I know you've been busy.
Thank you, sir.
My name is R.T. Lowe, and I'm the host of Gateway to Cleveland, and right now I need you to get out some paper and something to write with. You see, we do this program to help keep people in your part of Texas apprised of events in the community, but we need your help. If you're having a free nonprofit event, something of interest to the community, we'd like to help share that information, but the only way I'm going to be able to do that is if you send it to us. We'll need to know who you are, how we can contact you, and then most everything about the event itself. It should include who is staging or holding this event, what the event is, why. Make sure to tell the folks why they should come and be involved with your event. When, they need to know when the event is, when it's going to take place. Where is the event going to take place? How? Don't forget contact information. If your nonprofit group or organization has a website or email, put that down. Or a phone number. Whichever method you want to use, just have it where the folks can get a hold of you. It's who, what, why, when, where, and how. Those are the basics of every public announcement. There's one more important thing to keep in mind. It's called lead time. It doesn't matter how well you write something up and how much information you get us. If you don't get it to me in time, it will never make the show. We need you to get that information to us at least 3 weeks before the event or deadline takes place. Send the information on your events to KTHT 416 Dunham Avenue. That's 416 Dunham, Dunnam Avenue, Cleveland, Texas, 77327. Or you can email me at ktht@rtlow.com. kthtatrtlow.com. Okay, thanks for tuning in to Gateway to Cleveland here on 97.1, your country legends, Cleveland, Houston. And pick her key up at Flat Top and take us on home.